Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I'm really excited to have Cindy, and you can correct me, Laura Hogg or Haig. You can pronounce it for me correctly. So she's a certified. Say that again.
It's Cindy
Haig. Cindy Haig, thank you. So Cindy is a certified professional midwife from a long history online. It said 1990. You've been practicing, has a wonderful birth center in California. So she's been very fortunate to give some time to us today to talk about her lovely birth center. So introduce yourself, Cindy.
Hi, everyone. My name's Cindy Haig, and I have been a midwife for a little over 30 years. I have helped start two different birth centers, and I've worked in three birth centers, and I've also had a home birth practice both in the U.S. and in Mexico. And I love community birth, and I had my daughter at home 22 years ago, and I really like the birth center model. I like it because it feels home birth-like in many ways, but there's also community both for the midwives. And we have a strong student program, so for students as well, and then also for the clients, especially when we're not in a pandemic, there's even more in-person community. And I like the collaborative approach to practice. I feel like we support each other and learn from each other. And while teaching, we also learn a lot and keep up on the latest evidence. And a lot of clients form really lifelong connections through the birth center, which is really wonderful, and find ways to support each other.
I've seen it listed a couple different ways. How do you, Pacific Maternity, or how do you pronounce it when you're calling and talking to people?
Pacifica Family Maternity Center is the birth center name.
And then when did you guys open?
So we started pulling things together a little before 2012. And then I think we had our first birth in November of 2012 and have been running since. So I guess it's been about 7.5 years of actually attending births, but really more like 8 years of working at it.
Planning and preparing. And what was the prepping and planning like? Did you have other resources to pull from your past experience at birth centers, or did like a business plan and partnerships, like if you don't mind going to the planning stage of your birth center?
Yeah. So I am a co-founder with another midwife who has since moved to another part of the state. So now I'm the solo owner, but we started with a business plan and did some surveys in the community to see about the need for a birth center, and pulled resources from my past home birth practice because I'd been doing a home birth practice in the area for many years. And it was one of those things where it just flowed and happened, and it was almost like a train we couldn't get off of. It just was happening. So it was very clear that the birth center was needed. And we obviously did a lot of work, but it wasn't something that we had to do a lot of thinking and prepping for, in the sense that things just, one thing would happen, another thing would happen, and it just sort of came to be. So yes, it was a ton of work, but it was a very clear flow.
How many birth rooms do you guys have at your space?
So we have two birth rooms. We have a potential overflow room that we use as a postpartum room, but could be a recovery room if we needed to move somebody. That's only happened once. We've attended, over 800 births now. I can't remember exactly how many, and we've only had three people in labor or postpartum there at one point, so we are able to clean one room and move somebody into the recovery room, and somebody else came in birth. But in general, it's even pretty rare to have two people there in labor, although that also happens.
So with being AABC accredited, have you been that from the very beginning? Was that something you decided to do later? Is it a state requirement in California, if you can go into those details?
It's not a state requirement. We decided to do it pretty early on. We were accredited, and now we've been re-accredited twice. So we've been, for most of the time, the birth center have been accredited, and that was a goal. partly to support the national organization of AABC and CABC, and partly because I think their standards are really tough. And so it was good. It helped us, you know, look at our functioning and make sure our standards were in line with that. And partly just it feels because licensure in California is voluntary, it seemed good to have some overseeing group that knew about birth centers. And we chose to go that route instead of the state route at that point, although we may also work for licensure with the state. It's a little tricky in California. It's not, it hasn't in the past been super organized, and it wasn't very easy to even get an application. So this seemed more streamlined.
And then do you feel like it's benefited you being accredited with consumers or with the medical community? Have you seen, besides knowing you wanted to have those standards, any other benefits of being CABC accredited?
It's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. I think it probably shows consumers that we are meeting standards outside of our own. And so in that way, it's probably good. I don't know how much the medical community knows about birth centers and accreditation and things like that. I'm sure it sounds better to them than if we didn't have that, but I don't know how much they really pay attention to it, honestly. So I'm not sure. I think it's good. And the other thing that we've started is we started a birth center association that's an arm under AABC. So that has been helpful to have the AABC a part of things in that way. So I'd say it's helpful. I don't think it's like been the biggest input or influence on our practice, but I do think it's helpful.
Well, I think it just helps when there's other midwives across the country that are like, okay, I'm considering starting a birth center, I'm making my business plan, or I'm already established. What are the perks of having this? Like, because it seems overwhelming when you're busy. So I'm trying to, I love CABC, and I love having national standards that we can all reference and go to, because it just, it makes us stronger as a midwifery whole. So I was just curious your personal perspective, and that's totally fine. So some people are more like, connected with the medical community and transfers and relationship, and some are more, well, we only talk if we have to. So
okay. How many? I would say we're actually quite connected to the medical community. I just don't know if they care or know as much about the accreditation piece, but we're very connected, and we do have a lot of different kinds of connections to in terms of consulting or transferring or giving feedback about the hospital and getting feedback. It's actually quite a good working relationship.
You guys do like meetings with administration at all, or is it more just with the collaborating physicians having conversations? Like, how does that arrangement look?
Well, we have an informal consulting physician relationship with an OB who works at our hospital that we mostly transfer to. There are three hospitals in the Bay Area that we transfer to mainly, but there's one that's only four blocks away. So they're the ones we go to the most often, and they take all the insurance except for Kaiser. So we have the consulting relationship with her. There's the head of the hospitalist program at the hospital, and we are able to talk with her about any problems we have with the hospital. And that's been really good because she oversees their program and also talks to us about any issues that come up with patient care or client care. And then we also consult with some of the perinatal groups in the perinatology groups, and we also consult with the individual hospitalist practitioners. So there's been a lot of connections. We've also had a Birth Bridges group, which is now sort of on hold for a while, but that was midwives from the community and from the three hospitals trying to talk about how to make transfers smoother. So yeah, there's been a lot of connection with the medical
community. It sounds amazing, all the things you guys have in the backdrops worked on. So it sounds like there's a good collaborating. I mean, having a lot of resources and options to choose from, I'm sure is helpful.
There are, yeah. And every once in a while, they'll invite some of their programs too, or their, yeah.
Awesome. How many midwives are
totally... Sorry, there's a bit of a delay.
How many midwives do you have with your practice?
So currently we have five midwives on staff who are doing the actual midwifery, including myself, so for me and four other midwives. We have 3 to 4 students always at a time. who are very integral in our practice, but supervised all the time. And then we also have a midwife who's currently doing admin, who's chosen to not do clinical practice, but does a lot of the sort of more midwifery-focused admin, and that's very part-time. She has a new baby. And then, yeah, and then we have a couple admin people, but just five of us who do the practice. And then sometimes we'll use community midwives to either assist or do some of the home visits, but we're trying to do most of that with our group.
It sounds like even in 8 years, you've grown pretty well. What kind of insurance paying model do you do? Cash? Do you do in-network, out-of-network? Do you mind going into details how you decide your financial fee schedules?
Sure, I'll try and just ask me more questions if I don't cover it. We right now are not in network with any insurances. We are actually working on a contract with a local group that works with Medi-Cal, which is the California version of Medicaid. And that contract isn't quite done, but we're working on that. So we'll be able to work with folks who have Medi-Cal through that program. We have chosen to have people pay upfront for care and then get reimbursed by insurance, partly because the insurance contracts are quite low and it would be hard to keep our doors open if we did that, although we're going to still work on that. And the insurance reimbursement has been quite good for a number of our clients if they have a PPO and a low deductible. So that has worked out quite well. If the client's insurance reimburses more than they paid us, then that money goes to the birth center, and that's actually really helped us financially. And the goal of the birth center was always to be able to serve clients who couldn't otherwise access midwifery care, because home birth in the Bay Area is very expensive. I think midwives are charging somewhere from $6,500 to $8,000, maybe even up to $10,000 for a home birth. So a lot of people can't afford that. So we really wanted to be a place where people could access care with for out-of-hospital or community midwifery. And that's been really hard. So that's why we're super excited about this upcoming contract to work with folks who have Medi-Cal. And we also have the Pacifica Family Fund, which is a fund that supports clients who are facing multiple barriers to access to midwifery care. And that works through getting grants and donations, and then they will fund people. It's a nonprofit. It's separate from the birth center, but they're a nonprofit that will actually then fund clients to have care at the birth center. So those are a few ways that we've tried to increase access, but it has been tricky because it is mostly pay out of pocket. We also do payment plans, and I do some pretty large deductions to the cost to help increase access for people.
So may I ask what your cash global rate is? You mentioned the home births in the area range between $6,500 up to $10,000. What is the birth center cash rate for your services?
So we charge $7,000 for the full care, and that includes basically everything unless there's something like Rogam or something that they need, or if they live far from the birth center, there's a small fee for driving to their house. But other than that, everything's included. And then we will slide up to $8,000 if people pay more. Then that money goes directly to the Pacifica Family Fund to help other families, and then we slide down to $5,500. So we do it on the honor system and ask people to just be really honest about what they can afford, and we don't ask for any kind of paperwork or anything to confirm that. So the range is really $5,500 to $8,000, but the sort of actual fee that we say is $7,000.
When you mentioned insurance reimbursement after the fact, do you have a biller or an outsource, or does the family actually submit? How does that process work with your practice?
It's actually quite good. We work with Favored Medical Billing, and they've been really wonderful. And so for the family, it's pretty great. If they have a PPO, all they have to do is a verification of benefits, and then their part is pretty much done until hopefully the checks start rolling in. and then the midwives do the coding and the billing. Which has definitely been a learning curve, but they have forms online that we can use, and I think we have some sort of cheat sheets that we use to try to remember all the different codes and things. And then we favored medical billing, then interacts with the insurance company, and we pay the percentage that they ask for. I can't remember if it's 7 or 10% back to them of whatever they get back. So then they sort of fight with the insurance company. So for the midwives, we do have to do the coding, but we don't have to deal with insurance companies, and the clients don't have to deal with anything, and we pay for the biller fee. So it's a pretty good deal. And I'd say
that's very reasonable commission, the national average. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What so others?
It's been really great.
Sorry about that, Cindy. What other services do you do, mostly maternity, or do you do much GYN? Like, what services are offered at your practice?
So we've mostly tried to focus just on maternity and sort of prenatal birth and postpartum care. We do some GYN, but it's less. We offer IUD insertions. We can offer first trimester ultrasounds and sort of third trimester ultrasounds. We don't do anatomy scans. And I think the rest is pretty much just the basic midwifery care.
I'm just looking at the list that we've gotten, the questions asking you scattered. So how do you market your services? Is it mostly by referral at this point, like now compared to the beginning? What was your marketing strategy like?
That's where my answer is going to be a little weak. Basically, our marketing strategy has been very, I want to say haphazard, but it's basically just been word of mouth for the most part. We have a web presence, and I think a lot of people find us online. We do have a Facebook and Instagram presence. But a lot of this has been word of mouth from the beginning. I mean, I had a pretty strong home birth practice in the area. And my co-founder had connections to the hospital and was a CNM who worked in the hospital. So we had a pretty large community of support and people who knew us and trusted us. So that, I think, helped a lot. And now we've had a lot of repeat clients. We've had a number of people have had 3 babies with us already now. So it's been really sweet. And I think that's mostly what it's been, honestly. We haven't really done a lot of other strategic advertising.
Well, and honestly, if it's keeping you plenty busy with time, there's no reason to invest. Then you're going to be having a waiting list. It sounds like you're plenty, plenty busy. How many ladies are average on your delivery list each month?
Honestly, we sometimes have a wait list, and sometimes we'll go, you know, at or slightly above our numbers if the other months are lower. But we honestly, over the years, have averaged only about 9 clients a month, and we would like to take about 12 clients a month. So some months we've had 12, 13, up to 15 births, but some months we're, you know, down to 6 or 8 a month. So it's been a real mix. I don't quite know what all the ebb and flow is, but I would say that we're not over our limits most of the time. We definitely got an influx with the pandemic and people wanting to stay out of the hospital, but even that I think has calmed down, and I think part of that might be, unfortunately, because of finances, and some people don't have a job and don't have the finances then to pay out of pocket and insurance. Or some people might have lost insurance and things like that. So it's been very much up and down, but we've been stable.
What would you say is your favorite part of running the birth center? You can go the business side, you can go the clinical side, you can do both.
It's definitely not the business side, sorry.
It's okay, totally fine.
I mean, my favorite part is still attending births. I've been doing it for 30 years and I still, you know, can't imagine not doing that. I love being at people's births and supporting people through labor and birth. So that's my all-time favorite for sure. I think working with the students is probably the high up there on my list as well. I really love teaching students. I think it's wonderful to have new midwives being trained, and we do a lot of education as well as the clinical training with students. And I love to watch their process and watch them learn and watch them, you know, be excited when they get a new skill. And I also really like working on a team. I love
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just asking what for your students, are they more local or are they all over the country? Like, do your students, I'm just curious if they stay in the area and you're expanding or if they go back to their home communities.
Both. We have students from all over and from different, we pull from different schools, different midwifery schools. So some will stay in the area. We've had a number of them stay in the area and be, most of them are doing home birth practices. And some will go back to their communities. And then we just have a student graduating now who's going to actually join our staff. So we're super excited about that, which is really, really nice. And then I was going to say, the other thing I love is working as a team. I love our team. We have a fabulous midwifery team and we learn so much from each other. And it feels like we can really support each other through, you know, some of the ups and downs and challenges of being a midwife, as well as the joys. And, you know, it's really nice to work in a community and we get community with students and the midwives and with our clients as well. Although with the shelter in place, it's been harder because everything's been by video for the group kind of things, but we do offer a lot of groups and we have usually postpartum group and we do some group prenatals and we have partners groups sometimes and we have a queer and trans group and we have a Black families community support circle and we have a essentially a multi group where it's a growing families group. So we have all sorts of groups and that's been really nice and it's been really sad to not be able to do that in person recently.
Sounds like you have so many amazing community resources and I bet you that's a good part of your marketing campaign even though you don't realize it. But yeah, it sounds like an amazing so what made you decide, I'm just curious, like with five midwives, did you have a certain number at the beginning and it was based on more of the volume of the practice or like a call structure? What made you decide five midwives is kind of that nice number to not be too big and too small?
Well, it's a variety of things. Honestly, we started with just the two of us, my co-founder and I, and we did everything and we didn't have as many births in the beginning, but we were super busy. And then over the years with increasing clientele and a shift in not having a co-director or, you know, co-owner, where more of the admin then fell on me, there's just been different things over the evolution. And I think that it's really kind of a three full-time midwife position, but we have a lot of, I need to do admin, so I need to not be full-time. And then some of our midwives have children and want to work part-time, so that's work. One of our midwives lives about an hour and a half away, so she doesn't want to have to drive up here as often, so the part-time works for her. So I think the five has kind of evolved to fit the midwife's needs as well as the birth center needs. And I have worked it out where I do one 48-hour call shift a month on a weekend. We each take a weekend. And otherwise, I'm pretty much doing sort of 9 to 5. So I'm on call during the day. So I'm at a birth if needs be and do any of the client follow-up and emails and things like that. And I have time to do my admin work as well. And as I'm getting older, it helps me to get a little more sleep at night to be able to function and do all the other work. So with all those things, that's how it
is. Yeah, I think people don't give enough credit to the business side of running your practice. If you tend to just say, well, I'm going to do births, then 3 months later, you're going to catch the whim of, oh, crap, now I can't pay people, now I keep the insurance. Like, there's so much value in balancing. Even though we love the births, if you don't balance it as the director administrator, you're really going to have a hard time. So I'm glad you're taking that boundary and balance.
Yeah, no, it really is helpful. And also hiring some people to help with some of the admin has been a real gift because then it doesn't all fall on my shoulders. I feel very supported in that. So yeah, it's been great.
Is there anything else? I know with your, I always like, because burnout is very important to me. So how do you help balance your work life with the workload of personal life, work life, and being available? How do you take care of yourself?
That's a good question. It's also not my forte. I kind of love and live and breathe midwifery and have for most of my adult life. I started being a midwife when I was 21 and I am 52 and I really haven't done a ton else in my life besides midwifery. That being said, I do try to do a yoga practice as much as I can, and I try to spend out time outside. And before shelter in place, I would hike a lot. And before my body got older, it was easier to do a lot of hiking. That really helped. Spending time with friends and trying to eat healthy food and try to have relatively good sleep hygiene when I can, which is not all the time. Things like that, I think, have helped. But honestly, I get really rejuvenated by going to a birth. So part of my, work-life balance is actually to be able to go to birth and not just do admin. That's been really important for me personally.
And that's the nice thing. Everybody knows their boundaries, and you started this practice, and I remember that completely, where I was like, I want to know you, and I became a midwife to catch babies, but you also got to make sure you run the place too. So I understand that completely. Any other tips or anything else you can give to midwives that are considering starting a birth center, or even I've had people that are birth workers considering becoming a midwife, any advice you have for them?
Well, for people considering starting a birth center, I do really recommend association with AABC and the support they can give. And I think there's some great online forums where you can be connected through AABC to other people running birth centers. And I think the support of working with other birth center directors is invaluable. We have a really good support system of birth center directors in the Bay Area. There are many others. There's the sort of national. I think that's huge for birth centers. And as far as becoming a midwife, I think it's really important, obviously, to think about which kind of midwife you want to be, because it's a very different path becoming an LM or a CPM. In California, we're all LMs, as well as many of us are also CPMs. Sorry about the background noise. They're doing street cleaning. I don't know if it's coming through.
A little bit, but that's okay.
It'll be done in a sec. Okay. Again, pause for a sec. It's so loud.
It's actually, sorry. Yeah, on my
it's
end,
so hot,
it's
anything.
Yeah. I think okay. It's so important. You're okay. No worries. That the educational background, like thinking, I mean, it's confusing enough thinking, okay, there, yeah, I want to be a midwife, but then I can think of five paths to midwifery, and they all, whether which state you live in and what kind of midwife you want to be in scope of practice. I mean, it's a lot for anybody aspiring to be a midwife, let alone aspiring to have my own private practice. Do I want a woman's health? Do I want a unique niche? Do I want a home birth practice? Do I want a birth center practice? So that's why I created Midwifery Business Consultation, because I want midwives to flourish all over the country and not get burned out and not have learning by mistakes, but having these resources and tools. So I really value all your expertise and suggestions. So what would you say the big difference is between your home birth practice and birth center when you transitioned?
I just want to say I really appreciate you doing this, because a lot of midwives like myself get into it for midwifery, and the business side is a whole different thing that I didn't and still don't 100% feel totally prepared for. So
well, yeah, if you ever get some downtime, Cindy, go to the website. There's lots and lots of free resources on there, because I want to help midwives. And if there's anything you'd love to learn about, you let me know and I'll put a blog post. I'll dig into a topic. So just let me know if something comes up.
that's so nice. I really appreciate you doing that for us, because it is, I think, a gap in a lot of midwifery training. So your last question was, I'm sorry, I went on.
It's okay. It was about the difference between you've had a home birth practice for so long, and then you transitioned to a birth center. So if somebody was considering, well, I'm going to start a private practice, but what are, from your perspective, the difference of a birth center versus home birth practice, pros and cons?
Oh, great question. I love my home birth practice, and I sometimes do miss parts of that. I think the upside of the home birth practice was I knew my clients really, really well. I did all the appointments with them. There was a lot of that single continuity of care just with one midwife. And that part is, I miss. I don't miss schlepping all my equipment up the hills, up, steep steps, and having to like rush carrying all that and all that. That was definitely hard as I got older. And I also don't miss being on call all the time. I mean, as the director, I am technically really on call all the time, because I'm there to support my midwife staff. And if there's two births at once, they'll call me in. If there's something complicated, I'll get called in. There was a time when they were suspecting a dystocia and the baby was crowning, and they called me in the middle of the night. I got out of bed, got dressed, rushed over there. I'm only 3 blocks away, and came in and was able to start resuscitating the baby. So it only took like 5 minutes from when they called me to get there. So I do feel like I am always on call and need to be ready. But I do have time when I am essentially off call and the other midwives are handling almost everything. And that is a big difference between a home birth practice, at least the way I did the home birth practice, because I was a sole practitioner. And the team, you know, having a team to consult with is huge. You know, tapping on everybody's experience. We have such an experienced team. People have been practicing for 22 years, almost 20 years, 15 years. I mean, really experienced midwives working in all different practices. And we have a lactation consultant on staff, someone who's done a lot of people health, you know, in like Planned Parenthood, some people who've worked in a hospital versus home. So, I mean, we have a really amazing team. So I think having the team is another great thing that I appreciate, because we had our peer review in our home birth community, and that was helpful. But this is, we're working together in the same practice, so it's even more support, I think.
Well, you have a similar mission and calling. No, I think it's a great answer, because you can see, at least before COVID, you could see each other regularly. You'd have meetings, you'd make your policies together. You had a core mission branding versus when you do peer to peer. It's nice to have that collaboration, but it's not the same level. You're not under the same umbrella. Like, we all are seeing these women. I know that lady really well. So it makes a big difference.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I say that. And I do think, you know, the birth center, for having a community for the clients and for students, is also really nice, because when I was in a home birth practice, I would have one student at a time. So they didn't necessarily have community, because being a midwifery student is hard. And I think having a community of people who understand that and you can, you know, empathize with and talk with is really important. And for the clients, you know, going through, especially a first pregnancy, but even a, you know, subsequent pregnancy, there's a lot of things that come up, and having other people to talk with and learn from is really invaluable. So that, I think, is another real benefit of having a birth center. And it's a community space where we can have midwifery meetings, and we can have speakers come in, or we've had movie nights, or we could have, you know, board meetings for things or other things like that. It's been really, you know, good. We have parties and things. It's nice to have a community space.
Well, I think it just makes a community presence, because yes, if you have a home birth practice, you're typically driving places, you maybe have a little office part of something bigger, but if it's a community center or a birth center, you have a branded building that's just a presence in the community that people drive by. It gets a different consumer perception and community perception of your midwifery practice, I've seen, just by having something, it's an actual building entity versus going to somebody's house. So.
It's so true. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, for my quality of life, I live 3 blocks from the birth center, and the birth center is 4 blocks from the hospital, and I'm about 4 blocks from the hospital. So really, I can walk to work, walk to visit clients if they need to be transported, and walk home. And, you know, it's a very bioregional kind of world that I've been able to create. So that's been really lovely too, the not having to drive so much.
So much, Cindy. I really appreciate all your knowledge and your time today. I know you're a busy, busy lady. Yes, and if the other midwives across the country, because I know you love teaching students, are they able to send you a couple questions if they have, or if you have any resources to direct people to?
Oh, 100%. I love it. I love to be in contact with other midwives and support other midwives and students. So if people want to contact me, they can probably, the best is to email pacificamaternity@gmail.com, and you can just write attention Cindy, and yeah, love to be in touch.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Cindy. Have a great rest of your day.